Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
This episode is brought to you in part by drawyoupicture.com, where you can get me to draw you a picture for pretty darn cheap. See what I've done for others and see what I can do for you at drawyoupicture.com. And with support from our Patreon sponsors and Letters to Lewis, a rock star dad sharing his insights on life, family, and faith through a series of letters written to his son. Check it out today, letterstolewis.com.
My name is Smeagol Precious, and you're listening to Nobody's Listening. Calm, calm.
You're listening to Nobody's Listening, where we tell funny life stories and invite you to do the same.
Hey, everybody. This is Nobody's Listening, the Funny Story Show. Episode 224, brought to you the week of July. No, I didn't update that. It's August the 5th, 3 days from my birthday. It's 2014. I'm your host. My name is James Kinnison, and with me as always is John. I'm wearing a cool hat, Steinklobber. How you doing, buddy?
I'm great. Thanks. I'm glad you like my hat.
Well, that's a reference to the fact that we are now live streaming video again for the first time in over 2.5 years, I think. And you look good. Thank you for saving us from your baldness.
Well, you know, it kind of blinds people when they have to see that on the podcast.
Yes. Well, it blinds them because of the hotness level.
Oh, yeah, right.
And I don't mean attractiveness. I mean the way a something can refract light and
shiny car, perhaps
my reference and my cut down are completely shot to heck because I'm apparently not able to think up what I'm trying to say anymore. It's very important.
That's because
for
you're flustered because of my hotness.
yeah that is true. Your big fat head is taking up one full screen of my setup. I have four screens. One for sound effects like this. That's our new middle school drama episode sound submitted to us by our favorite guy, Mr. Janusz. So I've got that. Thanks. I've got show notes, and then I've got media and stuff, and then I have this whole screen dedicated to your head. So and that's so the people in the chat room can understand that and appreciate it. So if you have not joined us on Tuesday nights at 9:30 p.m. Eastern time, I highly suggest that you do. It's www.nlcast.com/live, and you can join the chat room. There's a lot of folks in there. I'll go ahead and get it out of the way now. There's Faye, Marvel Geek, Elizabeth, not just Anna Elizabeth, Rylan, M-Dash, and some guy named John with a cool hat on. So
he's got a hat in this picture too.
Yeah. There'll be more folks coming in, you know, later on. So excited about that. So what's been going on your week, man?
Oh my goodness. I feel like everything is going on.
Yeah.
But nothing at the same time.
How's that work?
And I don't know. I know I've been busy. I know a lot's been going on, but I can't say like what I did. I just know that I've been moving around a bunch.
I hate those days. Yeah, that's that busy crap where you're just busy.
Yeah.
And you're doing a bunch of stuff, but there's nothing really to say I did and accomplished and did this. And
yeah,
I mean, so, I think pooping is like that, honestly. You sit there.
Yeah, I can't remember the last time I did that.
You stress and strain and you work. And then after it's over, nothing to show for it, no matter how much you
there
did.
It is. I don't know that you'd want anything to show for it.
Well, if you're a toddler, maybe.
Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Europeans, from what I understand, inspect their poop-a-chew before they
Really?
Send it on down.
Maybe they should
the
be
pipes.
Called Europeans instead of
oh!
Europeans.
Oh!
That's terrible.
That was a zinger.
Sorry,
right there.
European people.
Speaking of rear ends.
Sprecken.
Yeah, Sprecken of, yeah. of rear ends. I had on a pair of shorts this past weekend. I spent some time in North Florida with my sister and her family. It was really awesome. But I had
North
on
Florida,
North Georgia as well.
Yeah.
And I had on some shorts and they were really, really, I hadn't worn them for a while, but they're cargo shorts. They're worn, you know, before you even get them, they're kind of distressed.
Yeah.
And there was something tickling me on the back of my calf there. And which was weird because I'd been wearing them all the whole way trip up because I talk like a toddler now. The whole way trip up, I had them. And but
it
anyway, I reached back to grab this thread and I jerked on it hard because that's what you do. You don't want to unravel stuff, you know. God forbid your whole pants fall off in some comedic twist of fate. But as I pulled, I realized that thing was not connected to the end of my pant leg there. It went all the way up the back and it was perfectly centered somewhere on the back waistline. So I flossed my own butt crack on accident. It was
awesome.
It was unpleasant to say the least. And
that's freaky.
I think I literally went, whoa, like somebody had got me.
Ooh.
Yeah. So
that was it connected? Was it like a elastic waistband type material?
No. It was an actual just a butt long thread, a literal butt long, and beyond for that matter. And so yeah, I was not
long and beyond.
So I took wrapped it around my finger a couple times, and I pulled that thing again. And I but before I did, I clenched up real tight so it wouldn't slide in and get hung up. And so
I grabbed a Klingon on the way through.
Yeah. I got rid of that thing. I threw that one in the trash. Sometimes you just are tempted to throw them away, but that was hazardous material after that. So thankfully
I'm
will say this,
didn't try to floss with it.
It was on the outside of my boxers, not on the inside. So it was from those, the outer shorts, not the inner shorts. So next.
Well, I got to say, this just happened. One of the reasons I was late getting on tonight,
yeah,
I was blowing my nose,
picking
which
out
I do
hats.
Sometimes. Yeah, I was picking out hats. That took at least 10 minutes. Does it look this one or should I put on a different one? I don't know. this one makes me feel Irish for some reason. But I blew my nose and all of a sudden I felt like something was tickling inside of my nose and I realized I had a bloody nose.
Oh!
And, it was gross. I don't know why, but sometimes when I blow my nose, it does that.
Yeah.
I'm sure you wanted to know that. It's amazing. That's not what my weekly update is.
No, I've just never been one of those people. My stepdad was one of those guys. Matter of fact, he was so bad that one of his nostrils was bigger than the other because he had spent most of his childhood packing that thing full of tissue and stuff. Yeah.
Gross. Well, this is only something that's happened in the last year. And I think it's from allergies or something and just getting old, which
it's from healthy living. It's juicing.
Yes.
It's,
I haven't done that in a while.
Organic stuff, you know.
Yeah. Processed. It's processed stuff. But I have to say this. I did a funeral, yesterday.
Oh, for what?
Which
a human?
A human.
Okay.
It was, yeah. All right. It's kind of, I know in our line of work, or at least what you used to do and probably sometimes do still, you know, you do have to pray for the dead animals. But this was for a person. It was actually Amy's grandmother. And, you know, situations are, everything was good. You know, if as good as someone passing can be, this was a good situation.
Mm-hmm.
But so they asked me to do it because I'm a professional Christian now.
Yeah.
And so I was honored to do that. But it's awkward kind of doing it for a family member because you're like, oh, you know, what do I say and all that stuff. So I was trying to, and this is may or may not be funny, but Christians will think it's funny maybe. I don't know. Anyways, I was trying to relate something with faith. And I said in my eulogy, I said, I've never known anybody that's gone to heaven. And then I didn't think about it as I said it, but I said, Amy, how do you think I did? And she said, well, you did pretty good, except for that one time you said you didn't know anybody that went to heaven. And I tried to clear it up. So it was a really small, you know, service. So I was meeting with the family afterwards, and I said, you know, when I said earlier that I don't know anybody that goes to heaven, I meant to, you know, qualify that by saying, and came back to tell us about it. One of the uncles that I actually told a story about one time before about giving an awkward man hug, he piped up and he said, yeah, I was starting to wonder about your line of work. He said, you might be in the wrong business.
You don't know how on topic that is for today, because we haven't done a featured story in a while. And today's featured story is called called Heaven is Real. And yes, it's a parody.
It's
an obvious parody off the book and the movie, but we'll get there. That's awesome. Speaking of Jesus stuff, I was in Georgia, which is a Jesus state.
Yeah, yes.
You know, pretty much.
Yeah.
And it was Sunday, and we somehow were able to accidentally schedule our dinner hour at a Wendy's with the evening getting out of church crowd. And you could tell.
Ooh.
You could tell, 'cause these were Georgia old Christians, so they all have Christian hairdos. You know, I don't know. If you don't know what I'm talking about, then you've never seen, like, not John and Kate, but what's the other one? The Duggars. You know, the way she has a look and a certain way of dressing. And so there was a woman with
jean skirts.
Yeah. Down to the ankle. And there were a woman with gray hair with a little thing over her head, I can't think of anything today.
A napkin thing.
A napkin. She would use it and then put it back on her head. Covering. Her husband would wipe his mouth on her scalp. So there was all these people, and they were not what you'd say, you know, the trendy hip Christians of today. You know, these were old school, dyed in the wool. And so, we felt really weird, because it was like everybody else knew each other. We were obviously the people from the highway. Yeah, you're the outsiders. Just stay out of the cornfield. Yeah, sure. So I went to the bathroom and did my deal. And when I went to the sink, I kind of got a laugh, because there on the soap dispenser was a Smile Jesus Loves You track. Okay. Tracked.
Smile.
As we call them.
Yes.
If you're not familiar with what a track is, it's basically a pamphlet or some kind that when you open it up, it tells you something about Jesus and how to get Jesus in you, how to become a Christian. And though I do, I've known of people that have, used them and read them and have converted their heart to Jesus. As you said, I don't know anybody personally that has been to heaven from one of these things. Okay. I'm sure they're great. I don't use them. If I didn't have any toilet paper, I would have.
I mean, I guess if you got to.
But anyway, my point is, I put it up online, and I was like, you know, I was going to wash my hands, but instead I let Jesus wash my sins away, you know. And so that was a little funny thing there. It was not liked by anybody that was going to heaven. It was all the people that weren't, that loved it. So I did something right. But what I realized is, what a terrible place. This is a common thing. People put these on urinals. They put them, you know, on the soap dispenser, on the hand dryers. John, you've seen these. Everybody's seen these things, you know.
Yeah.
It's usually the illustrated ones, you know, that you're going to go to hell and get hit by a train, you know, or you're going to accidentally get a demon in your heart or something like that. So I love all those things. It's great. But what I realized right then is, even if I wasn't a Christian already, I would not ever, ever want to get saved off of a track in a bathroom, because Christians have this thing called a testimony. And if you don't know what a testimony is, it is something that we share sometimes, which is our, the story of how we came to know Christ. Okay. You know, married people have their story. We got baby stories. We got how we met when we were dating stories. And this is how, you know, what you were doing in your life. What changed? How did you come to know Christ? And I would never, because I would never want to stand up. Actually, maybe I would in church and start my testimony by saying, well, I was taking a pee at Wendy's one Sunday. That's the way you'd have to start it. No. I was in there, because you couldn't start with, I was washing my hands in a bathroom at Wendy's. Well, you know what you were doing. No. So even if it was when unsaid, it would still be said. So
I think if you didn't say it, people would assume you're doing something else.
That's
true. You know, James, I'd kind of like to hear what that testimony would sound like in a North Georgia church. Perhaps Billy Bob did find
Well, maybe I'll do it as a bonus at the end, because we have got a lot of content there today. So next.
All right. Well, I found out my son was in a rare mood the other day. I mean, he was just like laughing and making jokes. This is the older one I'm talking about.
Okay.
He doesn't usually do that. He's usually pretty somewhat seriously. He likes to, you know, be serious with his jokes. But he was in a rare mood and he was just having fun. And so he's talking about his hair, because, you know, I cut his hair and it's getting long and stuff. And he said, I want it to be attractive to girls. And I'm like, what are you talking about? You're nine. You know, what do you want to be attractive to girls for? And so he realized quickly that he kind of made a mistake when he said that. So yeah. I said, well, what kind of girls are you trying to attract? And so he quickly said, none. I said, you want to attract nuns? He starts laughing really loud. He's like, you know, it's kind of nervous laugh and stuff. And he says, what's a nun? I had to explain it to him. It
yes, you have to, because nuns are not interested in none.
So you got your work cut out for you if you trying to attract a nun. He didn't get it either.
Hey, it worked. It worked in the story, the Sound of Music. You got it. He converted a nun.
So he wasn't even trying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
How
true.
Do you solve a problem like Maria?
I don't know.
You feel like you were in the Sound of Music when you were up there in North Georgia?
I did not. I felt like I was in Helen. Yeah, I guess you're right. Because Helen, Georgia, if you've ever been to Helen, Georgia, it is decorated, the whole thing, like it's an alpine village. And
That's right. A German alpine village.
Everything looks like Hansel and Gretel and you yep. should eat the building kind of thing. Yeah. And it is kind of tacky. It is very tacky, actually, because it's not Disney quality. It is cardboard, you know, cut out in shop class at the middle school shop teacher kind of quality. And
now, come on, James, we're proud of our Helen, Georgia roots.
There's a lot of fun things to do there, but look around at buildings is not one of them. So, sorry.
It's just that nice little gem hidden up there in the foothills of the Blue Ridge Mountains.
It is pretty up there. It is. And it's treacherous. Yeah. The roads are treacherous, and people who live there are very capable of driving, and they like to take their half out of middle. And so you're going around a sharp curve and you see a big, you know, S10 coming around the corner halfway in your lane. Yeah. You think you're going to die. So anyway,
it's because they're all mountain goats up there.
Let's jump into some news real quick. I want to announce this by popular demand. We have people have been wanting a theme show. Okay.
Yeah.
So we're going to do a theme show. It's going to be on September 9th. That's about a month away. You got plenty of time, folks, to send your stuff in, and we'll remind you. So we want your stories on the following theme: things I believed when I was a kid. Okay. This could be stories
like
people told you, lies your grandma said, you know, cats were girls, dogs were boys, you know, that kind of stuff. So you got 3-4 weeks to think of it. September 9th, the magic date. We're going to redo and our theme show concept and things I believed when I was a kid. So maybe next week I'll give you a little example of that. Hey, and if you're going to Dragon Con, we want to meet up in Atlanta, August 29th yes. through September 1st is the dates. We'd probably want to do it, you know, Friday night or, you know, Friday or Saturday, not Saturday, Maybe late Saturday. I don't know. No. We'll see. But if there's anybody that's interested, please email me, james@nlcast.com. I'll put you in a special list, and we'll get some conversations started and get that set up. And we'll do it based on everybody's schedule. You know, what's good for everybody. It'll probably be in downtown Atlanta, and it'll be fun. It might be in a food court. Very cool. I don't know. We'll see.
Might be dressed up as somebody or not.
I'll be dressed up as James Kennison. And if you see
Axe Cop?
No. Yeah, the one that blew up. No, and if you see a thread hanging down out of the back of my shorts, please do not pull it.
I'll be wearing a kilt.
It's my ripcord. Yeah, so I don't know what that means. But join us live every Tuesday. We already talked about it. But Tuesdays, 9:30 p.m. Eastern, podcast.nlcast.com/live. And thanks for Marvel Geek for joining us in the forums. And Carrillo, there's a voice we haven't, a name we haven't seen in forever. And M-Dash, thank you for coming in. So those, we figured I'd read them. Now it's time for our featured story. Let's see if I can find a sound for that.
You ain't that funny.
Okay, there's your sound.
You ain't.
So featured story. All right, featured story. It's called Heaven is Real. And yes, yes, it is a parody of that book. And I don't know how you believe about it, but I hate Heaven is Real. I hate the book. I hate that little boy. I don't hate him. Just wanted to save a shock value. And I know there's a movie out or something now, and I see it. And yeah. You know why I hate it? I hate it on principle. Because people buy that stuff because they're like, now I know heaven's real. Now I know because of this little boy who almost died and Jesus kissed him and now he's back. And I can already tell you what the story's about. And this kid told this story. They've made a fortune off of it. So that's ridiculous. And second, I already have a book that told me heaven is real. And that's good enough for me. It's called the B-I-B-L-E, people. And if you need a 5-year-old to kind of officiate and confirm what Jesus is saying, you might need to go back and read the Bible. Or just be one of those guys that John doesn't know.
I'm a child.
You know, just give up on heaven.
I've never known anybody that's gone to heaven.
So I know this guy. All right, so it's called Heaven's for Real for a reason. Because when I was 8, this was about 10. I was 10 years old. And I never thought to tell this story before because, first of all, I'd forgotten about it. My sister reminded me of it, and I realized she didn't know all of it because I was about to start talking about the stuff she didn't know, and it was really embarrassing, but I was going to do it anyway so that I could kind of beat her to it and make fun of myself before she did. But then I realized that all she knew is that my illness was fake. That's all she knew about the story. That will make sense in just a minute.
Okay. You're giving us a little foreshadow.
Yeah, a little foreshadow, a little foreplay. So we lived in a 3.5-acre lot. This was the area where the barrel of boys was spun around and dumped down on the floor. This is
death chamber.
Yeah, this is the torture chamber. There's all kinds of stories. The book in the butt happened around this same time. And also lots
cut
and
your
lots
brother's finger off.
What? Yes,
you
this is
your brother's finger? Yeah.
Where I did that. Absolutely.
Okay.
So lots and lots and lots of stories come from this time in my life. This was also a time where I was homeschooled. Okay. I was pulled out of school. Mm. I was like sixth grade or something like that. And my mother took us to church once in a while, but mostly during that time, I was just filled with a lot of information that wasn't necessarily central to the teachings and the belief system of Jesus Christ, you know. Sometimes Christians like to add stuff in and like to really talk about stuff like the devil, like demons and the presence of demons and how demons
stay
are
in your room.
Responsible.
Make sure you eat your cereal.
How demons are responsible for your behavior to the point that my mother would sometimes, this would happen, she would take a list of demons that she had gotten from somebody, and she would sit us down, me and my sisters, one at a time, and she would cast out demons from us. And we knew.
Really?
Yeah. Demons of, rebellion was a big one. Just whatever we had been doing, demons of Pop-Tarts, you know, if we'd snuck some Pop-Tarts or something like that. I don't know. But we knew that if we yawned and burped at the right times, because that's how you knew that the demon left you, that we could go out and play some more before the nighttime came. Gosh. But all that did, it didn't really do anything. It was funny, though, because it did create a false sense of freeness, feeling free and lighter, that I, at the time, believed because I had less demons in me, or possibly even none. But now I realize it was just a freedom from that crap. So it was just it was just crap. So during the daytime, all this was great. It was fine. Whatever, you know, you don't even think to question your folks, you know. If they're nuts, you don't know it. But at nighttime, when the darkness would come, that's when things would get really freaky, because I would even hear phrases like this. A pastor would say, "Some people believe there's a devil behind every doorknob." And I would take that absolutely concretely, because that's the way youngins think, very concretely. They don't know it's a metaphor. And I was scared to close doors because that was a demon behind my doorknob.
There's a demon behind the doorknob.
I went to a church that they actually would say that Tylenol was a demon. Okay. Ooh. Because we believed that if you had a headache, you could not say you had a headache. Because if you said you had a headache, that was a lack of faith and you couldn't be healed. So what you had to say after you prayed, "God, help me with my headache," then you had to say, "I don't have a headache," even though you had a headache. So you go tell your mom.
"I'm being delivered of that."
Yeah, "I'm being delivered of that. I'm talking about faith." So you'd go tell your mom, because you're a concrete thinker, and you're like, "Mom, I have a headache still. We prayed about that. I know, but I have a headache." "Don't, that's a bad confession. Don't you be doing that." And I'm like, "Can I have a Tylenol?" "No, that's a demon." And I was like, "Really?
Why
do
we have them in our house?
I thought they were bigger, you know. I thought they had talons and teeth and stuff. They're just little white pills.
Isn't that little tiny white pills?
Is that what I'm burping up? You know, I don't know." So they were demons because they were, you know, Tylenol. Why would you need it if you're healed, you know? And so I don't know. I didn't get it. It seemed like a bunch of folk magic to me at the time. And later on made it really hard for me to believe in Jesus for real. Because I was like, okay, what was crap and what was real? And so now that I've laid out that, I can tell you about the depths and the widths and the breadths that I went to avoid a very, very horrible thing to happen to you when you're 10. One day I woke up and my abdomen hurt like a freak. It hurt really bad all the way across. It did not feel like gas, but my mother was absolutely assured that it was. And so every time that I took a step, every time I moved, it hurt really, really bad. Looking back, it felt a lot like when I had appendicitis the other year. But I don't know that that's what it was. It was something more than gas, because that comes in waves. You know what I'm saying? But it probably wasn't appendicitis, but it hurt all the way across. She made me work all day thinking that it would shake something loose. I don't know. Maybe there was a demon in my colon, but all it did was hurt.
"Let me out."
So the question my sister had asked me on the vacation was that fake? And I said, yes, but then I thought again, and I'm like, well, no, I didn't fake it because I was 10. I didn't know what appendicitis was. I wouldn't have come to that conclusion. My mom did. So she took me to the hospital that evening, and I was in a bed. They were taking x-rays. I was admitted. Apparently something was wrong. I don't know what. I was told to stay in my bed. I was bored one night. My mother was sleeping and I slipped over into a, cause I was attached to stuff, but I switched it over to a wheelchair, and I wheeled myself into what I heard was a video arcade room down the hall. And dadgum, only the 80s would provide such an amazing room. It was dark and backlit from behind all the arcade cabinets, and all the way around on four walls were free, unlimited, you know, credits on every single thing. All you had to do was push button one or player two. And I played everything. I played a lot of games until I heard a sound in the back corner that immediately became Beelzebub. I was so freaked out. I was absolutely convinced that the devil was there because I was breaking the law I had gone against my mother's wishes, and it made me feel very aware of what I thought was the spiritual world at the time. So I got back in my wheelchair and I pedaled it out of there. And I think I got that thing caught on every single thing I could on the way out. Sure. that the thing from whatever it was from Evil Dead that was zooming through the forest after, you know, I thought that was what was coming after me. I just felt it on the back of my neck the whole way. Well, I told you all that to tell you this. The next day they decided, there was a very, very cute, nurse, and that I saw off and on. She would come and take care of me, bring me food and things. And my mom and her had talked, and they came back and they said, we are going to have you flip over and we are going to put in a suppository. I didn't know what a suppository was, but I was a bright young man and I put it together very quickly, even though I didn't see it flipping over. There was only one place to put anything in. From the back. And though I'd never heard of a suppository, though I'd never experienced one, I knew I didn't want to. And so I started screaming and I started yelling and acting as if I was going to die. Because very quickly I realized I had to get very creative and I had a very superstitious mom. And so much like the story that I told about the time I faked God's voice over an intercom system, I, ladies and gentlemen, faked my own death.
No, you didn't. You faked your own
death. I started freaking out. Come on. And I started screaming, and I'm like, oh, it hurts, ah! And then I paused, and I act like I passed out. And then my mom, who bought it, you know, says, James, wake up. And I woke up, I'm like, what? Oh, you're all here. Because I had seen, I'd never heard of this happening. You know, this wasn't popular then, you know. But I had read a story from a guy named, I think it was called I Went to Hell. It was a little book that for some reason my mom let me read from this pastor.
With his little tracks.
It was a Word of Faith guy, Kenneth Hagin, wrote a story about how he went to hell like three times, got saved, went to heaven. So I'd read this thing. So I knew a little bit about it. Okay. So I come back and I'm like, I'm using Dorothy from the Wizard of Oz. Oh, you're here, Scarecrow. Everybody's here, you know? And they're like, what happened? And the nurse is even getting in on it, man. She's in for it. And I told this story about how I saw Jesus and, how he told me that it wasn't my time yet. He had work for me to do. And my mom was crying. The lady.
She was crying?
Yeah. The lady, nurse, is sitting in her seat with her eyes wide open. She starts talking about her life. And her and my mom talk about God for like 2 hours. And I am like... All I know,
because you didn't want to have a suppository.
That's right. All I knew right then is I was like, I don't want a suppository and I will do whatever it takes. I don't care if I am dying. I will never show that I have any more pain in this concept. So apparently I was healed as well. Immediately.
You were. You immediately healed.
I don't remember my exact words, but I remember telling him that Jesus wanted me to come back home. And that my time wasn't right, and they had something for me to do. And it was apparently to tell this story, so I could die any time after this. And rightly so. I could write my own I Went to Hell book, but I will be in hell while I'm writing it. So maybe there's email. Maybe there's Wi-Fi. So, yeah, if I'm a little skeptical about the heaven is real kid, there might be a little bit of a reason. That's all I'm saying. I believe heaven is real. Don't get me wrong. But I also believe it is appointed to a man once to die. And after that, the judgment.
And then
so
the judgment.
I don't know that I believe people go and come back. That's my thing. So because I didn't.
I don't know.
I was right there in my bed riding the wave of spirituality, false spirituality. And I did it. You know, I used it. man. And rightly so. All the demons that I'd had cast out of me, all the burps I'd had to manifest and all that, you know. Jeez. So, you know, I know listeners are going, James, why did you become a pastor with all that bull? And I'll tell you my testimony. Hey, when I was eight, it's quick because it's because I got saved when I was like four, like all church people do. And we don't have a testimony. We just have, well, I went to VBS in Sunday school and my mom cast demons out of me and I wasn't allowed to take Tylenol for my headaches. You know, that's about it. But when I was 18, moved out. I was out of my house. I could decide if I wanted to go to church or not. And I kind of didn't want to. Kind of said, you know what? I got enough Sunday school in me. I believe in Jesus, you know, as a person, what he did. I believe in God, but all the rest of it, that was crap. That was fake. And my mind kind of went, yeah, most of what you saw was fake. I now realize I consider that to have been the voice of God because my head is stupid. And if there's anything that makes sense in there, it's not me. So, and you'll see why as the inner conversation continues, I was like, yeah, most of that was fake, feeling all self-righteous and stuff. And then this statement that changed my life came to my head and it just said, but everything that's fake is imitating something real. And I said, yeah, it is. And I'm glad I thought of that all by myself because I'm a genius. And I decided that from that point on, my journey was going to be for what was real, not the bull crap that people, you know, put around what God is and all that kind of stuff. So I'm still on that journey. And a lot of the stuff got shirked away. You know, I don't care about demons. Mm-hmm. I don't care about that crap. I don't care about a lot of stuff. And when I have a headache, by God, I take medicine. And when I was depressed, by God, I took medicine. Whoa, there you go. There's Billy Bob for you. Sean Dye.
Come on.
And
preach somebody.
Yeah, there you go. And I guess to sum it up, the ultimate reason I don't care about heaven very much is because I didn't get saved to avoid hell. I became a Christian because I really appreciated what Jesus did for me. And I wanted to say thanks by giving him my life. So there you go. That is the end of our featured story. Word to your mother. Hey, we're going to do some listener stories. If you want to send stories, you can do it. You can send them to james@nlcast.com. This one is a voicemail, though. We'll tell you how you can send those in just a second. This is from the wonderfully voiced Veronica.
Hey, James and John. This is Veronica from North Carolina. Glad you guys had such a lovely time at kids camp. And so I worked a lot of years at summer camps, and there were a lot of crazy stories. And you guys talking about all those camp stories reminded me of one in particular. Fortunately, it didn't happen to me because I wouldn't have let my kids do what she was letting her kids do. But
just wait.
I will tell you her story. So she had probably 10 middle schoolers in her cabin, 10 girls. And the bathroom isn't in the cabin. It's down the way. You have to go outside. And so at night, it became like a badge of honor to not go to the bathroom, which is further away, but to go and what they call jungle pee, basically just squat in the woods and go. And the counselor encouraged it and thought that it was like hardcore or whatever. Really, it wasn't good for the environment because we're right near the water source. And
that's where she starts.
And then it drains into the lake, the environment. Yada, yada. But whatever. So she was encouraging her girls to do
jungle
that.
Pee.
And it became like a thing. So at night, one of her girls tapped her on the shoulder and said, "Oh, I'm going to go outside and go to the bathroom." So she did. She heard her come back in. Next morning, some of the girls were standing outside waiting to go to breakfast, and they said to the counselor, "Hey, what's this out here?" counselor went outside and right, like on the front stoop, like in the dirt next to the front stoop of the cabin, there was a pile of human feces.
Yeah!
And the girl hadn't said she was going to go pee outside. She just said she was going to go to the bathroom. So the counselor knew that she had pooped right outside the front door. And so the counselor thought fast and was like, oh, yeah, it must be some sort of animal. What do you guys think that is? Is that a raccoon? Huh? Okay, let's go to breakfast. And she just totally had to pretend that one of her girls didn't poop.
Or wipe.
Now you guys are screaming and making gross noises, and it's making me very happy to listen to it. And I hope you guys have a great day and a wonderful podcast.
Yeah.
Bye.
Yeah. There's a quick and easy method to figure out if somebody's going to prom or not when they get in high school. And top on the checklist is, have you pooped right outside your freaking...
Have you jungle peed or pooed in your life? Oh, my gosh.
It's so funny that it's like a rite of passage, because guys...
It's a badge of honor.
For guys, we try to do it on the sly. Like, we don't want to go, so we whip it out and go behind a tree and hope nobody finds out. You know? Yeah. And I never bragged about it. Oh, I just peed on that thing right there.
It's usually cactus.
But a girl popped a squat right outside the door. I don't blame her, though. I would be too scared to go out in the woods, too. I wouldn't have done that. That's so terrible. I was listening to this when I was trying to, you know, screening it, and I thought it was dudes. I missed the part where it was female until after she said she pooped outside, and I'm like, oh, it's so much better when you talk about dudes, because you can say words like, he took a dump. But when you talk about women, you have to say feces and you have to say pooped, and it makes it so much worse. thanks, Veronica.
I did not see that coming. I didn't expect that. I was thinking, oh, maybe like somebody scared a kid while she was out there. I didn't expect the jungle poo.
Jungle poo. All right. Yanu sent this in one time. My three siblings and I were having some apple pie with my babysitter when she remarked, I love pie. And we older siblings were quick to be smart, Alex, and said, well, if you love pie so much, then why don't you marry it? And then the youngest chimed in with his kindergartner wisdom. She can't marry pie. It doesn't have feet. Sorry. family still jokes about how feet are a prerequisite to marriage. Oh, peace out, Yanush. So apparently, if you don't have feet, you can't get married. That's the rule. Sorry, people with diabetes. Yeah, you're at risk of losing your spouse. This is a great one. Hey, James and Mockingbird. See, that's it right there. That's all I should have to read, because I love that they're using your name. I just listened to episode 223, and I wanted to say that I'm from Mississippi, and no, we are not part of the KKK. What the panties, James? Am I the one that said that? Anyway, watch out, guys. The whole state of Mississippi is going to rally outside your houses with pitchforks, torches, and junk. I don't think she meant junk, but it means junk to me. There also may or may not be a group of nuns with the AK-47s that I smuggled into them last year. Audra, aka Marvel Geek. So we offended Mississippi, and I would worry more about it, but their trucks won't make it all the way to my house. So
wait a second. I saw Mississippi burning, okay? Didn't that...
Okay. Hannah. Hannah called in this, and it's super gross.
Hey, nobody's super listening. Gross. This is Hannah again. I'm calling because I just had a massage, and I wanted to share my story with you. So I go in for a massage, and they're taking care of my shoulders, and they're taking care of everything that's tight and messed up. And near the end of the massage, my therapist, who is a very big guy with a girl's name, which is strange. Anyways, I feel a wetness like drip on me, and I'm like, oh man, the lotion is dripping. I wish you'd shared.
The lotion is dripping.
Starts to finish the massage and wrap up. He's doing right over my face, and I feel another drip, and I realize the dude's dripping sweat on my face. Very, very awkward. But I don't say anything because I'm that kind of person who won't say anything.
Yeah, I mean,
but after the massage was over and I was leaving the gratuity, and I was talking to the girl at the front desk. I'm like, hey, can I leave a note for this therapist? She probably thought I was crazy. I hope she didn't think I was leaving him my number. But I sat there and wrote him a note that said, thanks for the great massage, but you sweated on me. And it was weird. Anyways, I hope you liked my story. I thought it was weird and funny and uncomfortable. I hope you did too. Hi.
Oh my gosh, sweated on her face. On her face.
It was on her face?
Yes, she, once on the back and then once on her face. Dripping sweat.
All I could think of when she was saying that was that episode of the IT Crowd when Roy goes and gets a massage and the therapist kisses his bum and takes him to court. Do you remember that was the best?
Yes, that was the worst and best all at the same time. Oh, it's like, where exactly could you put his face right where? That's terrible. Gosh, I would have complained because this guy's got three or four more clients behind you and you owe it to them.
That would have stressed me out. I would have been all tense again. You exactly. Sweated on me.
Scott says, I share an office with my coworker named Joel. We often compete to see who brings the best lunch to work, and he almost always wins. But one day, I turned to him with a smug look on my face and said, I don't care what you brought for lunch today. I had a better breakfast this morning. Oh, yeah? He challenged me. I had two chocolate chip waffles with strawberries and whipped cream on top. Joel looked slightly jealous of this revelation, and he was about to make a retort when I felt a wave of nausea come over me. I stood up abruptly and darted to the bathroom. I can only describe what happened next as explosive. Then I asked Jesus into my heart because of a tract. And then when I finished with my longer than normal trip to the bathroom, I returned to our office. Joel was the one looking smug now. Not feeling so good after all that sugar for breakfast, huh? He asked. I shook my head, sat down, humbled at my computer. I checked my email. It wasn't but 2 minutes later when the wave of nausea hit me again, stronger this time. I stood up, rolling chair flying across the office, and I made my way to the bathroom for round two. Joel shouted after me, here comes the other waffle!
Nice.
From Scott. There you go.
Oh,
Scott's got
Johnson?
No, I wish. it's a new Scott. It's a new Scott. I was on vacation with my little brother, and after a long day of driving, we got ourselves a hotel room. We each had our own bed, and as soon as I got in mine, I was out like a light bulb. I slept peacefully for an hour or so till I woke up abruptly in shock and horror. There was a man leaning over my face with a pillow. I rolled out of the mystery attacker's reach and assumed a defensive position, putting myself between my brother and this man until I realized that the pillow assassin was my brother. What are you doing? I asked. He looked at me strangely and simply replied, I got your pillow. I looked around and noticed that I had already had three perfectly comfortable pillows that I'd been sleeping on before being rudely awakened. You asked me to grab your other pillow, he said. Knowing that I couldn't possibly have done this, I was starting to get fairly annoyed. More annoying than that was the intensely scratchy throat that I had woken up with. So I decided that the conversation was over. Whatever, I said. I'm going to get a glass of water. I'm going back to bed. My brother dropped the pillow under my bed and said, Scott, I already got you water. I stopped in my tracks. What in the world was going on? He motioned to the nightstand. There was a glass of water. It had been filled up just for me. You asked me to get you a glass of water. Apparently, I had woken in my sleep or spoken in my sleep for the first time in my life that night. I asked my brother to pour me some water, which he was reluctant to get out of bed in the middle of the night to do, but I pestered him until he finally did it, and I wouldn't take the glass from him, so he set it down next to me. At that time, I asked him to do one more favor, which was to grab the pillow that was at the edge of the bed, and it seemed ridiculous to him since I was closer to the pillow than he was, and I already had three, but being the kind brother that he is, he grabbed the pillow and tried to hand it to me, and that's when I woke up, thinking he was trying to smother me to death. So thanks, James and John.
No,
I'm a longtime listener and love the show. So awesome.
That's an awesome story.
That was Scott again. He got two today because he was awesome. Mike Prince sent this in.
Scott's.
Michael Prince here. I'm just calling to tell you a quick story. I have been in a fireworks tent for 8 nights staying the night in it, doing a fundraiser for our ministry. And in the middle of the night, I have to go to the bathroom in these bushes behind the tent. Well, there was
It's a badge of honor.
There's always these birds around our tent, these little mockingbird
jungle
things.
Pee.
They like to walk more than fly, so they're always underfoot somewhere close to me. Well, a couple nights ago, I get up about 2 in the morning, and I go out of the tent. I walk out, having to go to the bathroom, and getting, you know, myself in the situation I need to be in to go ahead and release what needs to be released. And one of those birds, I scare one of those birds, and it takes off flying. And I start to release my needs that needed to come out before I was completely ready. And it scared me so bad. And I had to change my clothing before I got back in my sleeping bag. It was gross, but it was pretty hilarious. I'm just glad there was nobody around to see me. Anyway, I'm enjoying listening to the show.
Everybody knows.
Love you guys. Bye.
So his Roman candle went off is what he's trying to say.
The funny thing is this, that's not the first time that he's wet his pants on this show.
Oh, really? What was
I remember when he shared that story? I think it was a voicemail too. He's on his honeymoon and he wet the bed.
Oh boy. Maybe this is the problem.
I think
for
that was him.
Mike, maybe you should see a doctor instead of a podcast. I don't know. Just an idea. Thanks for sending that in. We've got one more. Unfortunately, I do not have the name of the person, and I hate that, but here it goes. Dear NLcast, something just happened to me that made me think nobody's listening material. It started out with the best of intentions. In short, a friend's family member passed away this week, and I was going to the viewing. They said the viewing was Friday evening at a funeral home, and on Saturday morning, the viewing and the service was at the church down the street. So Saturday morning, I showed up at the funeral home, and myself and another car were the first ones in the parking lot. A couple gets out of the car. I followed them in right away, and I felt something was off. I was looking over at the pictures in the lobby, and I couldn't find pictures of my friend. The couple who were in the lobby asked me how I knew the man, and I said I knew his daughter, and their perplexed looks confirmed my fears that I was at the wrong viewing. I was told he didn't have a daughter, and after some awkward talk and apologies, I bolted from there and sped down the street to the church. It might have been on par with the Seizing Sumo, episode 66, and my favorite NLcast story, but I was one room away from embarrassment of epic proportions. Moral of the story, read your text messages. Don't just glance at them one time. So thank you, random person. I hate
that's awesome.
That I didn't get your name. I'm so bad at that. Sometimes I'm not. All right. We haven't done a recap song for a while, so it's about that time. And
but first you got to die and tell us a story about your song. It's either that or get a suppository, man.
All right. Here we go.
Okay.
Let's see. I was 10 years old. I did as I was told. But before they could flip me and put something in me, I came up with a story that sent them all to places they never thought they'd go. Oh yes, I told them a story that I had died, and so I saw Jesus and I saved us from getting a suppository. So I told a Jesus story and I fainted, but I didn't have to take it in the rear from the cutest nurse I'd ever seen. I didn't want a suppository, so I told a fake heaven story. And I was drunk and in a biker gang one Sunday, I walked into a Wendy's and I had to pee and wash my hands. And that's when I saw a smiley face smiling at me. It told me a story how Jesus loved my soul. And I forgot to wash my hands, and I went outside and told everybody about the joy I'd found in the bathroom. And I hugged their necks and accidentally spread my pee along with the good news. Cause I never washed my hand like I was supposed to. And now I'm in your church talking to you, telling my testimony. If you ever die like I did and it's fake, just tell your mom and she will go and get you a person to help you sell your tale to Hollywood. Cause people are awfully eager to see that stuff. And we all know that five-year-olds never lie. They can't make up stuff, they can't try. They have no imagination. They never known what they were saying. So why question it? Just make a lot of money. And I'll get a tattoo on my tummy, because I'm a biker. And it will say, Jesus washed my sins away, but my hands are still, they're still at bay. What can I say? I am a girl now, and I went to camp, and I felt kind of damp, so I decided to walk outside. And I didn't want to walk all the way. I wanted a little bit of pride, so I did what I thought all the other girls were doing. I dropped my trowel and pushed it out, and I started a-pooing. And quickly I realized I'd probably done the wrong thing. Cause there was a guy taking pictures while I did my thing.
Oh, no.
And I realized that the lady up in charge, the counselor, had a deal with a photographer. And now we're on a fetish site. I'm there for now and the rest of my life, and it is going to hurt. I can't get into college. I can't get in a job. I can't even get married because my crap's all over town. Literally. Anywhere you want to go, you can see me pee. See me. And before I kill John, I'm gonna stop. But I'm going to get a massage really quick. It's gonna relax me and make me feel really great. And that's why I got this strong guy. And now I feel the lotion going on. Why is it on my forehead? I open my eyes and a towel is damp. He's wiping his eyes. I look into them deeply, and then I realize the salt water from his face has dropped from the skies and landed on my nose and dribbled right on down. And I'd like to say something, but I'm not that kind of clown, not the kind that'd break up with you anyway. And I know that I have to pay the same price, even though there was no happy ending. There you go.
I don't know where. That's lyrical genius right there.
Well, it comes and goes. Parts are great. Other parts, not so much. And I'm not ringing my own bell. I just know when it rhymes and when it don't. So hope you enjoyed it. And I hope you appreciated that kind of stuff. Guys, it is time for us to get out of here. Visit the website, podcast.nlcast.com, where you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter, or join us for a live show. Join the Facebook NLCast Facebook group. It's called the Nobody's Listening Community, and it's amazing and fun. Leave an iTunes review if that's how you found us, or wherever podcasts are found. Support Nobody's Listening at patreon.com/NLCast, and check out all of the other NLCast Network shows available for download at NLCast.com. Thanks to all our patrons like Jordan Medea, Lauren Mack, Mandy Newberg, Seth Darling, Amy Butterfield, Scott Covert, Kevin Walker, Janu Striesbeck, Anna Silva, Tamara Selleck, Mike Cornish, and thanks to Rob Gobers for our awesome theme music, our spouses for letting us record, our contributors, and everyone who listens. And remember, when you tell your funny life story, tell it like nobody's listening. We'll see you guys next week.
Yeah.
That's right. And if you happen to be in North Georgia, you see a track waiting for you, take a Tylenol.
Read it.
cast the demons out of yourself, read it, and that way your testimony can be, I had to really pee. I really had to pee. God had a plan for me while I went to go pee. It could even rhyme. It'll make a great book title. So we'll see you guys next time. Bye, John. Thanks, man.
Why?
I don't know. People do it, man. Crazier things have happened. I should write that. I should write that book. Jesus met me in Windy when I had to pee.
Brighten your home with big savings at Menards. Combine stylish lighting with LED technology with Fight Electric smart color-changing light bulbs. They have a full range of colors, allowing you to choose the perfect one to suit your mood. Say big on all Fight Lighting smart home products. Now at Menards. Shop our lighting options today, in-store and on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.